Braila. Dr. David Braila is from USDA in Cornwallis in Oregon, expert in the water nutrient management of the berry crops. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. So I'm going to talk about some research that we've been doing. It's kind of a culmination of about 10 years of research. We've been working on developing fertigation practices for blueberry. I don't know how familiar you are with blueberry, but blueberry is a relatively unique fruit crop or unique crop in general. A few things you need to know about blueberries when you're thinking about nutrient management is, one is it's a shallow-rooted crop. Now, being it's a perennial crop, most of its roots are in the top 30 centimeters of the soil profile, and about 80% of those roots are in about the top 10 centimeters of the soil. And the roots are extremely fine, the feeder roots. I mean, the average diameter is 40 to 70 micrometers, so about the thickness of your hair or less. Now, another thing that you probably know about blueberries is it's an acid-loving plant. It prefers a soil pH between 4.5 and 5.5, and it's adapted to high organic matter soil conditions. Now, as a consequence of being adapted to low pH, one thing it does is it prefers the ammonium form over the nitrate form of nitrogen. And in fact, it's believed that it can't really utilize the nitrate and primarily needs the ammonium as its nitrogen source. And it's also adapted to low nutrient needs, particularly for macronutrients, things like phosphorus, potassium, calcium. And it can tolerate high levels of metals, like things like manganese and aluminum, because it's under these conditions when soil pH is low that these nutrients, the macronutrients tend to be low and many of the micronutrients tend to be high. Blueberry irrigation is typically done by one of two means, either sprinkler irrigation or drip. But it's gone through a transition over the years. When I first started working with blueberries in 2003, in Oregon, about 90% of our fields were irrigated by sprinklers. Well, now about 80% of our fields are irrigated by drip. So drip is quite common in blueberries, not only in Oregon, but throughout the world. And one potential advantage of using drip is not only applying the waters where you need it, but also being able to fertigate, so injecting fertilizers through your drip system and applying it right to the roots. So we did a study from 2006 to 2012. We looked at fertigation versus granular fertilizer, and in 5 years of fruit production, consistently we found higher yields with fertigation over granular nitrogen fertilizer. So this was just a nitrogen study. So we got 12 to 40% more yield when we used fertigation. So clearly, nitrogen fertigation is the way to go. And since then, most of our growers who do use drip do fertigate at least for part of the season, if not all the entire season. Produces larger plants and produces higher yields, so it makes a lot of sense. But the question we have now is, okay, so nitrogen's good, we want to fertigate with that. What about other nutrients? So what we start to look at next is potassium. Potassium is the second most abundant nutrient needed by the plants after nitrogen. So when you remove fruit, the most nutrient you're removing during harvest is nitrogen, followed by potassium, which you're removing almost as much. There are guidelines for potassium in blueberries, but these guidelines were basically derived from anecdotal information, you know, going out to grower fields, seeing what the soil levels were or the leaf levels were and saying, okay, this is what it should be. But we don't have any experimental evidence for this. And blueberry can develop potassium deficiency, even though it doesn't need a lot of it, but it's usually under certain conditions, drought, poor drainage, low soil pH, so low soil pH for blueberry would be less than 4, heavy crop loads and sandy soils with not much organic matter, you can see potassium deficiency in blueberries. Now, we did a preliminary study in the greenhouse initially to look at different potassium in combination with different nitrogen sources. So we used potassium sulfate, and potassium sulfate would be the most common granular fertilizer used for potassium in blueberries. But in this case, we applied it as in a liquid form. And we also used KTS, or potassium thiol sulfate. And I'll explain why we did that in a minute. And then we had 5 different nitrogen sources, of which were ammonium sulfate and urea, ammonium thiosulfate, urea ammonium nitrate, and slow-release urea triazone, and 5 rates of potassium, 2 soil types. So out of these 250 treatments, what it all boiled down to is that the KTS appeared to be a promising fertilizer for blueberries. In this particular study, we got the best growth when we used KTS in combination with ammonium sulfate, in a soil type that had a high pH for blueberry, or when we use the KTS and urea in a soil that has an optimum pH for blueberries. Now, why KTS? Well, blueberries like acidic conditions, and thiosulfates are converted in the soil by soil bacteria into a sulfuric acid form. So they can actually help reduce the soil pH. So KTS could be a benefit in blueberries because it helps to reduce the pH. So not only is it providing potassium, but it could be managing your pH too. So we did the study in a weak planting. I want to look at a weak planting. This was a 12-year-old of Duke that just never really did very well. And we kept the field study, the soil conditions in this particular field. It had pH that's 5.7, so a little high for blueberry. Soil organic matter was fair, about 3.1%. We usually like to see it above 3.5. Potassium was low for most crops, but maybe not for blueberry. And calcium, magnesium were high for any crop, including blueberry. So we designed a relatively simple study where we had either no potassium and just nitrogen fertilizer, which a lot of growers will do. We had granular potassium sulfate, or we did two fertigation. We either did fertigation with potassium sulfate or fertigation with the KTS. And in each case with the potassium fertilizer, we applied 75 pounds per acre of K2O. And that was basically from April. Well, we did the granular once in April, and the fertigation we did from April to the end of July. So the granular is banded on each side of the row, which is what typically is done, and then fertigation, of course, through the drip system. And we installed these soil solution samplers to be able to look at the different distances from the drip emitter, what was happening in the soil solution. So basically, all these things are these micropores membranes you inserted in the soil. You put a syringe on it, pull the stick to keep the plunger open, it creates a vacuum overnight. That syringe fills up with liquid, you bring it back to the lab, and you can run it for analysis of nutrients. So in this case, we analyze it for potassium. And what we found is, if you look on the left, we have the potassium concentrations in the soil solutions under the drip emitter, and on the right is 6 inches from the drip emitter. And what you can see on the left is that when we are fertigating, the potassium levels went up in the fertigation treatments, but not with the granular, or not with the control, of course. And then on the right, we see the potassium levels went up with the granular, but were lower with the fertigation, and again, low with the control. So what I think is happening here, potassium is not very mobile in the soil, so then we fertigate, most of that potassium staying right under the drip emitter, whereas when we have the granular fertilizer, I think what happens is it dissolves, and it moves to the edge of the wetting front, and 6 inches from the emitter is about the edge of the wetting front. So I think that's what might be happening there. Now, if we look at pH, again, we see similar that with the fertigation, we had lower pH under the drip emitter than we did with our control or the granular. pH also went down 6 inches from the emitter. Calcium, interestingly, went up in the soil solution with the fertigation under the drip emitter. What I think is happening here is when we add potassium to our soil, and it's in solution, it's knocking off these other cations that are on the cation exchange sites, releasing it in the soil solution. So then we measure it. We're seeing higher levels of hydrogen ions or lower pH, or we're seeing more calcium in the soil solution. We also saw more magnesium in the soil solution. So I think that's what's happening there. So if we look at leaf nutrients, however, we didn't see a response in the concentration of potassium in the leaves, interestingly enough. And that was after 2 years. We saw no difference with the potassium fertilizer in any of our treatments. However, what we did see was higher calcium levels. Now, typically, what you would expect is when you add a potassium to a field and there's more than enough potassium, generally calcium becomes limited. Well, in this case, it becomes more limited because of the competition for the ions. Well, we actually found higher calcium concentrations in the leaves, as well as higher magnesium levels in the leaves. Of course, sulfur was higher. That's not a surprise. We are adding sulfur with this fertilizer. And then manganese was also higher in the fertigation treatment than in the with the potassium sulfate than in the control. And that's related to pH. The lower the pH you have, the more manganese is available. The fertigation with potassium sulfate basically was the lowest pH treatment, so that makes sense. After 2 years, we did not see any effect of the potassium fertilizers on yield or on fruit quality. So we looked at yield, we looked at berry weights, we looked at acidity and firmness, and we didn't see any effects of these fertilizers after 2 years. However, we did see some effects on berry nutrients, but again, like the leaf nutrients, it was kind of not what we expected. We actually saw reduced levels of potassium in the berries with our fertigation treatments than we did in our control. And we saw higher concentrations of magnesium in our fertigation treatments than we did in the control. So it's kind of, things aren't kind of coming out exactly where we expect it to. You expect to put more potassium on, you see more potassium. We're not seeing that. We're actually saw the opposite effect in the berry nutrients. So to summarize it, we saw more of an effect when we fertigated with potassium than when we used granular K. However, the effects weren't necessarily what we might have expected. We saw reduced soil pH, as well as increased potassium, calcium, and sulfur in the soil solution with fertigation. We saw increased leaf calcium, magnesium, sulfur, and manganese, but we saw reduced berry potassium and increased magnesium in the fruit. The other thing we did see with fertigation is the leaves were a little greener. So we saw an improvement in leaf color with our fertigation. So there was that effect. And again, we saw no effect yet of the potassium fertilizers on yield or fruit quality. And perhaps 2 years on a mature planting isn't quite enough. And I've talked to people working on other crops, and they've said that, yeah, usually we need three years or more to see an effect with potassium. So that could be what's going on here. So with that, I will stop and take questions. Denise. Yeah, because we bury our drip lines with the sawdust. So where that granular fertilizer was right over the drip line. So our drip lines are about 20 centimeters from each side of the base of the plants, and that's where we applied that granular fertilizer. Yeah.